encourage the rest of you. Prepare. We're going to listen. We're going to hear from the Holy Spirit this morning. So take out your Bibles, open them up to Acts chapter 8. And then if you have message notes, take those out as well. If you don't have a set of message notes, the ushers will make sure that you can join us in this study of the inerrant, authoritative, God-breathed, inspired Word of God. This is really cool. We're looking at enjoying the fullness of the third person of the Godhead in our own lives, who come to and taken up his abode. He lives within us. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Wherever you go, especially if you're going someplace that you already know the Word of God has spoken that you shouldn't be, did you know that he's right there with you and you're participating with him? You know, that was just eerie to me as a brand new Christian. It really helped me to try to stay away from the broad road that leads to damnation and hell, and stay closer to being on that narrow road that leads to life. So we're looking at enjoying the fullness of the Holy Spirit as we look into the life of Philip, who is an example to all of us as a man who has truly given his life over to Christ and been filled with the Holy Spirit, enjoying that relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit will do in the life of a man or a woman who has made themselves available to walk with Christ very, very closely. So, you know, Abba Father is so good at providing us everything that we need. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He is the God who provides us all of our needs. And some of us think he should provide us other things, but I just want to encourage you. When you ask for something from the Lord, is it a need or is it a greed? You know? I think the Lord, and I know, the Lord has a bunch of spoiled, rotten kids. And they keep thinking that, oh, he should be doing more of this for me and more of that for me. And maybe not. Ask yourself, be honest. Is this something the Lord Jesus Christ himself would ask his Father for on your behalf? That usually turns me to saving money. Not cash so much, but it turns me to saving money. You know, every August, something begins to transpire in the homes where you have kids. If you have little kids, mom and dad, you're going to start preparing your list because you're going to need your pencils. You're going to need your crayons. You're going to need paper. You're going to need lunch boxes for the little ones. And then for your college-bound kids, you're going to need to make sure that they have a computer, they have a notebook, they have their iPhone or whatever it is, and residential furnishings to go in those rooms that they're going to be costing you so much to be occupying. The most satisfying phrase a parent, in my opinion, can hear when you've got kids in this season of life and going in this direction is, "Don't worry. I have everything I need. Don't worry. I have everything I need." This is the opening line in David's 23rd Psalm. Most of us hear the 23rd Psalm when we go to a funeral. It wasn't intended just to be read at funerals. That's something I think the West started doing. But the 23rd Psalm is a beautiful psalm, and there's a summary statement of how the good shepherd, the Jehovah Ra'ah, the good shepherd, and how he takes care of his sheep is in that summary statement at the very beginning. Traditionally, the first line of the passage is rendered this way: "I shall not want. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, my Ra'ah. I shall not want." But in the more modern translations, it will say something like this: "I have no need. I have no need. The Lord is my Ra'ah. I have no need. We know without wondering that we have everything we need, those of us who enjoy the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we are walking with our Lord Jesus Christ most of every day and enjoying Him as we live this life that He has called us to. For David, playing the role of a sheep, that meant lush pastures, it meant quiet waters, it meant the restoring of your soul, it meant being protected from evil, and that you're going to sit at a lavish banquet table, and you have an eternal home. If you are Jesus, you belong to Jesus, you belong to the Jehovah Ra'ah. He is your shepherd. He's going to feed you. He's going to guide you. And He's going to take care of you. That's his role, to feed you, to guide you, and to lead you. That's why the poimen, the shepherds of churches, are called such. We are tasked with leading, guiding, and feeding the sheep, spiritually speaking. So this is what Jesus does for us who are His kids. We have everything we need in Him. But we want more because we listen to our flesh and to the world. But we have everything we need in Him. Alexander McLaren, he said this: He who has the Holy Spirit in his heart and the Scriptures in his hand has all he needs. He who has the Holy Spirit in his heart and the Word of God in his hands has all that he needs. Do you know many American professing Christians that would say, Amen to that? I didn't hear any this morning. Amen. Amen to that. To have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and the Word of God, His inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word speaking into our own lives. Beautiful, beautiful thing. In 2 Peter, it's not in your notes, in chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, Peter, what a guy. There's a guy that was enjoying the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he writes to this church that's been dispersed. They're being persecuted. They're being beaten up. They're going to jail. They're going to prison. Not like the American church. We've got nothing to worry about. But Peter, he says, His divine power, Abba's power, that divine power that comes to give us our spiritual vitality, our spiritual life, our ability to live here and now in this world and specifically in this devilish culture in which we find ourselves. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him, through the epigenoso of Him, the intense spiritual intimacy with Him. That's what he's talking about, that Christians should have and can have. They only need to desire it. But through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us, He has bestowed on us, He has endowed you and me with something. And that is, He says, His precious and very great promises. We have this great salvation. And once embraced and received, we are not only saved, but God the Holy Spirit comes to live within each and every one of us. So that through them, these promises, these precious, you can't put a value on them, promises, that you may become partakers, partners, literally. We become partners of the divine nature. What you and I have been looking at in part in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and Colossians chapter 3. The whole chapter, really, but I've just been pushing you towards beginning in verse 12 through 16. Become partners in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. For this very reason, make every effort. For this very reason, GHCC, don't just sit there at the end of this period of time of worshiping the Lord. He is telling us, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And what is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence. That is our pursuit. And the Holy Spirit will help us get there. But we are to pursue moral excellence, virtue, with knowledge. And this knowledge is to study the Word of God. How many times did you pick up the Word this week and let Him speak to your heart? We are to be doing these things to stay away from the corruption of the world and its sinful desires. We are to find ourselves pursuing moral excellence with the study of the Word of God, the memorizing of the Word of God. When was the last time you memorized a verse? The meditating on the Word of God. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness. The word there in the Greek is to persevere. It's telling us to go through something that is severe and don't give up. To go through this severe thing, whatever it is, but with relentless determination, with the help of God the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us as orphans, remember? And through this steadfastness, this perseverance with godliness, to pursue being like Jesus. The Holy Spirit has placed the attributes of the Spirit in you. You just need to ask Him to bring them forth. We were told of those things we're supposed to take off in Colossians chapter 3 at the beginning. Now, I didn't read those things, but I'm hoping that you went there this week and read them. These are the things we're to rid ourselves of. And then I talked about the things we're supposed to take on, like putting them on, like a shirt, and then another shirt on top of that, or a shirt that just contains it all, if you will. I don't want you to get too hot. It's such a beautiful thing that we have here. And then it says, and godliness with brotherly affection, concern for others. Concern. Not like that song that Pastor Eugene and the worship team led us through about those bony fingers. Oh, my goodness, did that bring conviction into my heart. But brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And I'm not talking about ooey-gooey love, you know. I'm talking about agape love that seeks that other person's best and highest good at your expense. And seeking that person's best and highest good may have nothing to do with that which that person's going to think positive. You're going to point out error in his or her life. You're going to point out a weakness in his or her life. But you're doing it not with the bony finger. You're doing it with love. You're seeking their best. That's what you want. Their very best. Their highest good. And it may cost you because I don't like you pointing that out to me. And I don't agree with you completely about it. You and I are done. That has happened to me. I got nothing for it. But nonetheless, it was being obedient to love that person. To seek their best and highest good. For if these qualities are yours, and he says if, He's talking to the church. And there may be people in the church. There may be people at GHCC right now. They think they're Christians, but they're not. Because he's saying here, if these qualities, these things that he just spoke to us about, if these qualities are yours and mine and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective. In other words, useless. They keep you from being useless or unfruitful, meaning being unproductive. In the knowledge, and we're talking about a full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ here. So unfortunately, there's far too many professing Christians who know Jesus' salvation, but they've remained these crippled, very sickly, little infants in Christ that have never made it out of the neonatal spiritual ward. And it's time, if you know such a person, to love them and to call them up, to bring them forth. You come alongside, as we saw in Colossians. You come alongside and you help them. You extend that helping hand to the hurting, the helpless. You extend yourself to them. You come in a humble, meek way. You come, if necessary, forgiving them as you have been forgiven. And you're there to help them in love. In love. Well, having said that, why don't you turn to verse 5 of your notes? I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'd like to ask for a show of hands so that I would be encouraged, but I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, for I fear that I might be discouraged. I'd like to ask you, how many of you took the action step this last week of being kept filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking you to put up your hand, but good. I'm glad. I'm glad three of you. Did you take Colossians 3, verses 12 through 16? Did you sit there and go through it every other day, if not every day, and ask yourself, do I need to put this on? Is it not on me? I need to put on all the things that are listed there. Did you do it? Did you do it? Or did your shepherd just write another spiritual prescription that the spiritual pharmacist didn't fill? You know, for some of you, I'm wasting your time right now. Totally. And there might be a football game or something else on that you would be better suited to go watch. Because if we're not going to listen to the Word of God and hear what it is saying to you, not to your spouse, not to your kids, not to your parents, but if we're not going to listen and we're not going to hear and then go do, then think about it. Aren't you wasting your time? I can never give you back that 40 minutes you might be here for this message. I can't give that back to you. Once it's gone, it's gone. Maybe you can redeem it doing something else. The Word of God is such a blessing in our lives. Once we really listen to it, hear it, and do it, like being kept filled by the Spirit. And then I gave you the action step after Colossians 3. Live Colossians 3, verses 12 through 16 out. Live it out. Did you do that this last week? Did you do one or both of those action steps this last week? And if you didn't do them, then I have no reason to believe that you took the last action step. Ask the Holy Spirit to use you. Yes, Him to use you to inspire others to make a positive life transformation. That they too would become these new creations. That they too would have this great potential in them. And that they would find themselves with that amazing power of the we, you and the Holy Spirit. Me and the Holy Spirit. Three very positive action steps that we can do with the power of the Holy Spirit. The amazing power of we. Well, if you would, let's look at verse 30. At verse 30, we covered divine appointments. It wasn't by chance that Philip's going to go out there in the desert by responding first to this angel that was speaking to him and then to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't by chance he was going to find this Ethiopian eunuch. It was a divine appointment. He'd already set it up. Divine appointments. Wonderful times together. You don't know they're coming, but then they are. They are right there upon you. So verse 30, it begins here, and he says, so Philip ran to him. He's running to this nobleman from Ethiopia. He is obediently doing not only what the angel said, but what the Holy Spirit has asked him to do. Philip ran to him and heard him. He hears the eunuch reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? We saw that with Major Ian Thomas last week. We saw the same thing happen with Pastor R. Kent Hughes. They're getting on airplanes, and it was right there. They're being asked by people about the Bible. All we have to do is make ourselves available and say, Holy Spirit, I want to be filled with you. I want you and I to do something wonderful today, something that really counts for the kingdom's sake. So here's Philip, and it says there, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch is smart enough to say, how can I unless someone guides me? He recognizes he needs someone to help him. I don't know if he's fluent in Hebrew or not. He's coming from Ethiopia. But he has this scroll, and he's reading it out loud, even as I have encouraged you to do. Read the Word of God out loud so you can hear it. You can hear Him actually as you read it out loud speaking to you. It's His Word. It's not you're making it up. He's speaking His Word to you and listening. So how can I? How can I unless someone's going to guide me? And He invited Philip to come up and sit with Him. Now bear in mind, here you have this nobleman from Africa. He's a big shot. This is a man of authority. He's high up in Queen Candace's court. He takes care of the treasury. This is a really powerful man. And you got this fisherman, and he's being invited to get up into this war cart. I believe it had four wheels, not the two-wheel chariot. So he gets up in there in the cart with him. You see, this portion of the scroll of Isaiah, because that's what it would have been then, a scroll. The entire 66 chapters of this marvelous prophetic book, so many messianic prophecies are in this particular book. And so as he's reading it, it's called one of the servant songs. This is what theologians have called it. And you'll find these servant songs in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6, Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9, Isaiah 52, verses 13 through Isaiah 53, verse 12. All of those things will be on the CD or on the internet. All these things are speaking about an anonymous servant. Rabbis are going to argue about this for centuries. Their Messiah is going to be the one that comes as a warrior king. He's going to come and he's going to take out all of Israel's enemies. They can't wrap their heads around a Messiah that's going to be the suffering servant. But we see here in Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8, what's being talked about. But before we go there, I want to finish our passage that we have here in your notes in front of you. So in verses 32, now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this, his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom is this prophet talking about? That's an astute question. Who is he talking about? You and I know now it's Jesus. But he says, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He's going to give him the gospel. He's going to tell him all about the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see here, water. What prevents me from being baptized? How did he know he should be baptized? Philip was talking to him. You've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that took place in the sharing of the gospel. He's come to faith. He's embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as his master and savior. In verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, having said that, we're going to go back. I want to do a recap of some of those things last week and this week that we just saw here this morning. Now imagine how Philip's heart must have jumped for joy because he's being sent out to the desert. It's a desert place. And here he sees this entourage of this nobleman out there in the midst of the desert. It must have been an impressive caravan. You can only imagine. This guy's rich and powerful. He's going to need soldiers around him for bandits and whatever. And so he's on his way back. He's made a 1,000-mile journey to Jerusalem, and now he's going to make another 1,000-mile journey back to Ethiopia. Stephen, would you show that map that we saw last week? Okay. Up here, we've got Israel, and we have Jerusalem. And he's out here in the desert. Now he's going to come, not down here to Ethiopia as we know it today. He's going to come up here to Aswan, and as far down as Khartoum. This geographical area was known as Ethiopia then. That was Ethiopia. And so this is where they're going to be on their way back to. It's called Nubia today. The eunuch was a black man, and therefore, I only mentioned that his color because that makes him a Gentile. You didn't have Jewish people who were black. Unless, as many of our theologians think, that this eunuch was a proselyte. He had met some Jews and converted to Judaism before he went to Jerusalem. Or possibly he went to Jerusalem to become a proselyte. Most of those historians that I was reading were all talking about he had already become a proselyte. I really don't know, and I don't believe that they do either. In any event, he was a noble man on a noble search. And he traveled along in his chariot, and he is reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. Look at your text. It says here, he, and we know this to be Jesus now, was opposed or oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb, he is led to the slaughter. And like a sheep, he that before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. The observation here for me to give to you is that Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Here it comes right out of the Old Testament. There's perhaps no better place in the Old Testament from which to preach Jesus. No doubt Philip took the man through all 12 verses of Isaiah 53, describing his royal lineage, the incarnation, the vicarious atonement. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm sure that Philip explained about the suffering and resurrected Messiah, Yeshua. And with that, he said, what he said was absolutely revolutionizing in the life of this Ethiopian man. Revolutionizing, life changing. It was a positive life transformation. It was a life now that had greater potential than it's ever had because of the Holy Spirit living in him. This is a man that really, truly understood hope as he's on his way back to his country. He understood our acrostic for hope. Hope. He had every reason to be optimistic now. He knew for certain he was saved by God's grace through faith in the Messiah, Jesus. He was not only having this hope that would never be taken from him, or to be this optimism, but he could be passionately positive about this life that he has entered into because he knows that God the Holy Spirit has come to reside within him and to be with him always. And he can go back to his people. Not only himself being encouraged. I'm saved. I'm saved. All my sins have been forgiven. And I get to know the one true living God every day of my life and enjoy him. And now he can share this encouragement. He can share this reason for his passion and positivity and this optimism and this tremendous hope that he has with the people in Ethiopia. And today, there is a false church in Ethiopia as well as the real church. The false church is Orthodox, but the real church is alive and well, and it is growing by leaps and bounds. The doctrine of the suffering Messiah was unheard of in the first century, and it has been rejected by Judaism since that time to the present. But we know that the eunuch was convinced and impressively converted. The principle here is clear, and here's your fill-in. All of us. Would you say that with me? All of us. Again. All of us. All of us are called to be in touch with the Spirit and with the gospel. All of us. Now, the only thing you need to ask yourself, am I really in touch with the Holy Spirit? Do I have this joy of Him living in me and enjoy being with Him on a daily basis? Am I ashamed of the gospel? Or do I share it? And am I blessed by it every time I think about it and what it meant for my salvation? And then it goes on there, and I say, all of us should be able to explain Jesus from the scriptures. Can you? All of us should be able to explain Jesus from the scriptures. Unfortunately, too few can do so. But you see, that's just a weakness, family. That's a weakness. It's not something that can't be shored up. It's not something that couldn't be changed in getting together with one of your elders or one of your teachers, like my wife or Gary, and say, would you please help me to know how I might succinctly share the good news with someone I know who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very simple thing to come to understand and to be able to share with other people. Because God, the Holy Spirit, He wants you to be successful in this. He wants you to enjoy Him every day. Anyway, the eunuch was not only convinced, he also wanted to take the next step. And we'll take that next step with him next Sunday. Get it?
Got it.
Good. Let's pray. Abba, we want to thank you for the clarity again of your word. We're so grateful that it's not confusing. Some passages might be confusing, especially as we're young in the faith. But as we continue on to grow in the wholeness of your scriptures, you illuminate the word of God to our hearts and our minds. You speak to us through your word. So I pray, Father, that we will listen attentively every day as we take up this precious document that you protected and left for us that we call the Bible. It's far more than just a B-I-B-L-E, a book. It is your words, your thoughts to us. It is a love letter from you to your children. So, Father, please, may we respond in kind, in love towards you. On these scriptures, especially the ones that you pointed out to us, they're sweet, they're nice, they're loving, they're kind. In fact, that's part of what we see in there. Help us, each one, to wear these things like clothes. But like little children, my Lord, sometimes we have to be reminded what goes on first. We're not going to put on the coat before we put on the undershirt. Please, my Lord, Help my church family, help me to take your word into my heart, into my mind, that as I'm driving into work, as I'm sitting somewhere quietly waiting on an appointment, that we might commune together and that you might point out that an area that showed up to be weakness today, such as being kind to someone or not being very forgiving. And later in the day, I need to go backwards. Maybe I need to text, better yet, if I can see the person face to face and ask them, I was wrong in what I said, or I was wrong in the way I said what I said. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to say it the way it came out. Father, I want so much, I know for myself, for Kathy's sake, for my children's sake, for my grandchildren's sake, and for anyone for that matter who comes into my sphere, I want them to meet the character of Jesus. I want them to see the Holy Spirit in me. I want to be one of your lights in this world, and I ask that for this whole church family. You created us in Christ Jesus, your Son, for good works. We are one-of-a-kind, custom-made people to do these good works, but with your help, that other people will see them and they will give you glory and honor. Please, Father, may we walk in this way, for we ask it in Jesus' name.